Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
I guess I should wish you a happy solstice.
A happy solstice. Welcome to winter. It came in
four minutes ago. I feel like the sun's going to be out longer already.
Well, won't be for today. The sunset is at 4:22 this afternoon.
Longer. Now we're on the other side of the solstice.
No, today is the shortest. It will be the longer. It starts tomorrow.
Well, happy solstice tomorrow.
This is the shortest day, and then it gradually starts to move to be longer. 7:15 was sunrise this morning.
Oh, exciting.
You sound so enthused.
I'm worn out from the Bears game last night.
Oh, boy, oh, boy.
And I hate to start the show complaining about something. I know that's very
unlikely. Never do that.
It's freezing in here. Are you cold in there?
Actually, yeah, it's a little on the chilly side.
It is a little chilly.
It's freezing in here. How are we expected to perform at our peak performance? Freezing.
It's supposed to be invigorating.
It's what?
It's supposed to be invigorating.
Okay, well, we'll see.
You don't buy that.
Well, we'll see how invigorated I am when my teeth are chattering during the show. Paul Schaefer from the David Letterman show. It's a Christmas tradition. He would always do his Cher impersonation. I wanted to share that. And the actual Cher, as if you stayed up after the Bears game last night, then you saw SNL with Cher as the musical guest, lip-syncing her heart out last night. This is from the old Sonny and Cher show. Maybe Cher solo. I'm not sure. It looks like Sonny and Cher show on the YouTube. Remember that show, Shawnee?
Yes, I do.
One of the great variety shows of all time.
We're approaching about 60 years now on that show.
Was that
50. Yeah, mid to late 60s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I miss variety shows.
I do, too. Sonny and Cher, Dean Martin had a variety show.
Yeah.
And, of course, Carol Burnett.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. They've kind of gone by the wayside.
Yeah. Well,
should have our own variety show.
Well, we sort of do every week.
I guess we do. Quite a variety of items.
An interesting array of different things on the show today. We've got some very interesting things. Annabelle Laval will be joining us on the show.
Oh,
today.
Wonderful.
From the WGN-TV Morning News. She's doing a New Year's Eve show. You know, she does stand-up comedy also.
Mm-hmm.
So she's going to join us a little bit later on. Weatherman, meteorologist Bill Snyder, those of you who are going to be traveling for the holidays, give us a look at what you might expect for that. Went back into the archives for an old interview that I did with Rob Reiner. It was a week ago that horrific story broke last Sunday when Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle's bodies were found in their home, accused of the murders, their son, Nick. Just a horrific story, but we had many great conversations with Rob Reiner through the years, and we'll share those coming up in just a little while. So how about that Bears game last night? Holy smokes.
I'm still trying to calm down from it.
Yeah,
me
too.
I told Tony and Eli that I knew that if I watched it, I would be in trouble because...
Did you stay up?
No, I didn't. And I got a text from my friend in Phoenix who was traveling with his wife to Denver to see their son for Christmas. He texted me and he said, "Do not send me any updates on this game. I want to see it for myself."
That's so interesting. I mean, yeah. I guess because of the rivalry, but people all over the country were invested in this game.
Oh, yeah. Night. Yep.
I went into it feeling like if I watched the game, I would jinx them.
So you didn't watch it?
No, I did watch
it. Oh, you did watch it.
I didn't want to jinx them, but I always... have that feeling because so often when I watch the games they lose, I take it personally. And I think, well, it's got to be me.
Were you prepared to leave the room?
I'm the same way, though, because last week I have a couple jerseys. I wore an orange one last week and decided to wear a white one yesterday.
Look at you, Mr. Superstition.
And I'm thinking to myself, hopefully I didn't jinx them.
Yeah.
Well, yesterday...
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yesterday afternoon I wore my Bears knit stocking cap that goes back to 1985,
wow,
when they went into the Super Bowl in 86. So apparently that was good luck.
Well, you've been wearing exactly the same clothes ever since I've
since
known
the,
you.
Yes,
much.
Since about that time, it's true.
Once in a while he has an I voted sticker on his sweatshirt.
For Hubert Humphrey.
Who's
Hubert Humphrey?
Uncle Dean. It was amazing. It looked dark for a long period of time during that game, and then they're down to the last 3 minutes, and just unbelievable. It was unbelievable. And guess who was at the game last night? Producer Eli.
That was my first
time. He's got stories, too.
Yeah, that was my first time.
Where is he?
He turned his microphone off.
I got muted.
There
by
he
Dean.
Is.
There I am.
I turned that because you had the Paul Schaefer music coming out of your studio. Go ahead.
That was my first time ever seeing the Bears at Soldier last night.
That's amazing.
I've never seen like a Soldier Field game day environment because every time I've watched the Bears, it's been on TV.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really know what to expect with all the pregame festivities or what.
Soldier Field, by the way, looked great. Chicago looked great.
Yeah, everything
on TV last night, it was just looking absolutely spectacular, beautiful.
It felt like magic in a way, just like seeing everyone with like their rally towels and everyone collectively freezing, but no one was willing to leave their seats at any point. No. The only time I left my seat was right before halftime. I went around the stadium looking for this particular drink. Lou Manfredini kind of like challenged me to find it yesterday morning on House Smarts Radio. The Bears were doing a Windy City hot chocolate. Or Chicago-style hot chocolate was the name of it.
Which is what?
Hot chocolate with Malort and amaretto.
Ugh.
Yeah, so it
you
sounds,
lost me at Malort.
Sounds interesting to say the least, and I was willing to
sounds
try
awful.
It.
It sounds awful. Did you find it?
He was willing to buy it for me, so I went around the stadium. I found it was only available at one bar in the stadium, and it's like a maze to find.
Huh.
I finally get there at like the end of halftime, so I've already been searching for 15 minutes.
Oh. Malort.
Yeah, exactly. I get up to the line, and I watch the person in front of me get the last one served.
No way.
So I go back to my seat empty-handed. I missed like a couple stuff at the start of the third quarter, but by the time I got back to my seat and the rest of the game unfolded, I didn't miss a thing.
Yeah, you didn't care at that point.
And what a first time at Soldier to have a game like that.
Well, that's... I can only imagine it being at Soldier Field for the first time for a Bears game. Last night's Bears game, everything that surrounded the game last night. Can you describe how crazy everything went when Caleb threw that final touchdown to win the game?
I mean, nobody really thought they were going to take a shot down the field because every time they've just thrown the ball deep this season, it's been either overthrown or dropped. It just never connected. So none of us really saw it coming. But when the ball was in the air, it felt like it was moving in slow motion.
Yeah.
Like it was up there for, it felt like 5 or 6 seconds. And then DJ comes down with the ball. And my first instinct was to look for where the ball ended up after the drop.
Yeah.
Because there had just been so many drops before that. And I'm used to seeing that. But the ball never left his chest.
Yeah.
He collapsed it to the ground after because he just took a whole lot of hits the entire game, but he hung in there and made a whole bunch of great plays when the team needed him. And stadium, I mean, you saw it on camera. The stadium erupted
just
right after that.
Crazy. So how crazy was it where you were sitting?
I was sitting
going nuts and hugging.
Yeah, my friend and I were jumping on top of each other. We were high fiving any stranger. I was high fiving Packers fans, even though they didn't want any part of that. There were a lot of chants for raining out the stadium as we were exiting, but like I stayed in my seats throughout the entire post-game celebration. Right at the end, after he was doing all of his TV interviews, Caleb Williams took a full lap around the field, high-fiving everybody in the front row and saying, thanks for coming. We couldn't do it without you.
Yeah, I saw some clips of that. I also thought, I think it was DJ that had not a cheese hat on, but a cheese grater.
Yeah. Yeah, that was in the
like
locker
room. Like a giant cheese grater.
That was great.
On his head. That was hilarious.
I saw post game on the field, like doing some like TikTok dances with Simone Biles wearing that as well.
That's fantastic. You know, Shawnee, I rarely wish that I was back in the window at Tribune Tower, or as I like to call it, that old dump that we used to work at. But today I would like to be there for all the Weasel Packer fans that always come by the window. They used to always come by the window when the Bears were playing the Packers at Soldier Field and, you know, like flaunt their Packerness in front of the window.
Yes. Yeah, they would.
And, you know, being the professional that I am, I couldn't respond in any way.
With a particular gesture.
I had one particular gesture in mind. Pretty much. That's pretty much what
the gesture. Oh, that's perfect.
That's pretty much correct. But today I would like to be there for when the dejected Packer fans are strolling down Michigan Avenue looking for the Disney store that's been closed for years. So, it was fun. It was really fun. Tony, to highlights of the game? You know, because now we're looking forward. I mean, there's, aside from all the excitement in the rivalry and all that, they've got a few more games to play here.
Yeah, they got.
And, you know, Howard, so, you know, this has got to be a tremendous boost for the remainder of the regular season, not to mention playoffs.
Well, and they gave themselves a little more cushion, too. I mean, not that it's a big cushion, but they're up a game and a half in the division, and they honestly can clinch the playoffs today. They get some help from Detroit if Detroit loses or ties with Pittsburgh, so they could push them into the playoffs. But, of course, Bears want more. They can get the division with one more win, too. That would ice it with San Francisco and then Detroit the last week. But it's not going to be easy. It just gets harder from here.
Does it? Or, I mean, is this a significant amount of momentum? I mean, Caleb and Moore have got to be on cloud nine right now. Santos, with that field goal.
Just trying to judge
really,
the wind,
like,
right?
Kept us in the game. It was really windy and cold last night.
Now, you could see on TV just the uprights blowing back and forth. And on the one kick he had, I think it was when the Bears first got on the board, he kicked it left because he knew it was going to come back right, and he kind of judged that perfectly. But like what you said, though, they will have the momentum, but sometimes I think you kind of that can hurt you a little bit because you get kind of that high going into the next game, and then you don't want it to kind of weigh on your shoulders.
Right,
but
right.
And it's going to be on the road, too. San Francisco, it's a tough place to play.
Yeah, okay. And how about the big heater scandal from last night?
I didn't even notice that during the game. I saw it afterward too, but I don't. In my opinion, it really doesn't affect me.
The heaters. You know, they have these gigantic heaters. They look like gigantic space heaters, basically, for each team on each bench. You know, to keep the guys warm when they're not playing. And I guess the heaters went out on the Packers' side. Oh, the people from Green Bay are cold. Yeah. Oh,
so
them.
Sad.
Poor them. There's, I think it's in the Tribune I read this morning. It's like accusations of intentional cheating.
Yeah, I mean, how can you prove that?
Please.
Intentional cheating?
Yeah, that they did that on purpose so the Packers would be.
Oh, so they turned off the heat?
They turned off their heaters.
I think there's like a rule in the NFL, though, where like if something happens to the Packers sideline, that like the Bears would have to turn off their heaters.
I think that did happen for a while last night.
At that point, what do you complain about if both teams are...
Yeah, first of all, you're both Midwest winter teams.
Right. You should be used to the cold. Or like my mom would say, just put on more layers.
Just... Right. You go out there looking like the kid from A Christmas Story. Which, by the way, those new protective helmets look like that anyway. They look like like they're space creatures or something.
I just think the Packers are trying to find any excuse possible.
Of course. Well, it was super fun. Really, really fun. That was a fun game to watch.
I think we're in store for some more excitement here. This is just going to be terrific.
Yeah. And we could see him again in the playoffs, possibly.
Yeah, right. I was telling Tony earlier this morning, I said, I remember when they were in 85, there, young fella. Haven't seen this much excitement in years.
What are you talking about? But the Super Bowl?
Yeah. For certain.
Is it that long ago that you're doing the old man?
40 voice? Years. It's 40 years this year.
I guess that makes sense, I guess. Do you remember where you were when the Bears won the Super Bowl?
Absolutely.
Me too.
Absolutely. And that, I was out on, that was one of the most exciting things I have ever covered.
Yep.
That.
Oh, you were covering it as a story.
As a story. Out all night and was so wound up the next day I had to go down and see the victory parade in Daly Plaza.
Well, you want to talk cold.
Oh, wow.
You want to talk, not, last night's cold was nothing compared
not
to that
like
victory
that one.
Parade.
Right. Yep. And I remember, I think it was LaSalle Street. They were trying to get the bus with the team up to go to Daly Plaza. And there were so many people in the street, the bus couldn't get through.
Crazy.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well,
a lot of good memories there, young fella.
Well, boys and girls, climb up on Uncle Schwanny's lap and tell him what you'd like for Christmas. Have you been a good boy or girl?
Have you been naughty or nice?
What? What is it with your old man voice today? It's because he's got something in his sack for you today. It's the far-flung forecast. A Yuletide version of fascinating facts and figures. Jolly old Saint Dave.
Well, thank you very much, Uncle Dean, and good morning. Happy holidays. Glad tidings to all.
I've got my Christmas protractor ready.
Excellent.
And compass.
Excellent. Do you have your newfangled device?
I forgot to bring
it. You forgot to bring it. Okay. Well, that's all right. That's all right. We're headed way up north and way northwest because today, on this Sunday before Christmas, we head to North Pole, Alaska.
Wow.
North Pole, Alaska.
I know someone who lives there.
Do you really?
No.
Then why did you say that?
It's where Santa lives.
Well, that's the real North Pole.
Well, this North is Pole, a different city.
This is a different city. This is North Pole, Alaska.
Oh, this is a different city.
It's a population of 2,243. It's about 1,700 miles south of the real North Pole, the geographic North Pole.
Can you see Russia from there?
It's a little further.
Old throwback joke for you.
Yeah, like about 20 years ago or so. North Pole, Alaska is near Fairbanks, so it's a little further inland from the western shore of Alaska. It was incorporated in 1953, and of course, the North Pole's biggest attraction is a gift shop named the Santa Claus House.
Oh.
And they get letters by the hundreds of thousands each year addressed to jolly old Saint Nicholas, of course. But North Pole, Alaska, living up to its name today, we have partly sunny skies. Get this, an air temperature of minus 41 today.
That's not the wind chill.
No, that's the temperature.
That's the actual temperature.
It's the actual temperature, and the high today in North Pole, Alaska will be minus 37.
Wow.
They're having a winter storm watch also.
I'd like to get one of if I was in weather like that, I would need one of those jackets like the Bears players were wearing last night. Those big gigantic
ones that they were when they were on the sidelines.
Yeah. And I would need somebody to put it on me also.
Because you're too good to be able to.
Yes, exactly.
Once again, it's all about me.
That's what they did last night. Players would come off the field and somebody would drape the coat over them.
That's what I want. Are you comfortable, Mr. Richards?
Eli's going to be surprised what we're going to be starting on this show next year for the new year.
He's going to have a crown and a scepter and walk down the hall.
Maybe a scepter.
An orb and scepter.
I need an orb.
That seems cool.
Right?
Yeah, you do.
Just walking around with an orb. Hey, buddy, is that an orb? What is that thing?
So there you have it.
Are you done?
Merry Christmas.
Did
yes.
Did they say the temperature? Oh,
yeah, we did. Minus 41.
Okay, I'm going to start paying attention from now on. Time for the Week in Health, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. Dr. Santina Wheat joining us, Program Director, McGaw, Northwestern Family Medicine, Residency, Northwestern Medicine, Del Norte Hospital. Dr. Wheat, very, very nice to have you here with us, as always. It was a week ago that this horrific story of the murders of Rob Reiner and his wife Michelle were broadcast. And we've learned so much since then. Their son, Nick, has been arrested and charged with the murders of his parents. Some of the side stories on this are kind of interesting about mental health warnings that, you know, we talk about, you know, physical health problems all the time. We don't really talk about mental health problems as well. But what are some of the kinds of things that people should kind of keep an eye out for that might signal disturbing behavior or problems that are coming?
Yeah, good morning. This is absolutely a heart-wrenching story. And from what I have seen in some of these stories, it was really looking at schizophrenia. And this is just a disease that really can really impact so many and really impact the entire family. And the things to look at are can be different for each person that is impacted by this disease. And we sort of see two separate sets of symptoms. We see things that are additive and things that are taking away. So the additive, they might be hallucinations, they might be delusions, they might be really being paranoid or thinking that someone is out to get them or things are out to get them, and they can be disorganized and just have thoughts and movements that just sort of seem surprising and even bizarre. And then the other side of it is negative, where they really just lack motivation. They really withdraw socially. They stop taking care of themselves, have poor hygiene, and really don't have any sort of expression to them. Maybe don't have happiness or sadness even that you can see on their faces. And it can really just sort of build, and it can be quite scary.
Yeah. Is it always dangerous if someone is exhibiting warning signs like that?
It's not always dangerous. It's always something that you probably want to look into a little bit more. And just like with anything, we all respond a little bit differently. So sometimes it can be more minor symptoms and controllable, especially if you can get treatment early on. It's not always an aggressive response. Sometimes it really is just more of a withdrawn response, but it can be hard to tell who will respond which way. And so I always advocate for getting therapy and medication treatment when possible.
What's the difference between schizophrenia and depression and, you know, some of the common mental health ailments that we hear and read about?
So it's challenging because sometimes you can have multiple. They can be overlapped. In something like depression, this is much more common in our population. It can be a little bit easier to treat with both therapy and medication. We have some more proven things that work a little bit faster. But if somebody has significant depression, they can still have hallucinations. They're less likely to have the things like the aggressive things that we might see. They're less likely to have some of the paranoia that happens. And they're more likely to just not engage as much with everyone around them. The schizophrenia really, it's scary because the hallucinations can give them harmful thoughts, either towards themselves or towards other people. And so that tends to be the thing that I worry about the most as a distinction.
Yeah. Well, what's the best way to deal with it if you recognize some of these characteristics in a loved one? Do you ignore them? Do you institutionalize them? You know, a lot of people have said that tough love is the way to do it, that, you know, you snap out of it or get out. You know, what's the recommended way to deal with it?
So I don't think that there's a completely right answer, and particularly for schizophrenia, there is not a cure. And so it is ongoing, lifelong treatment that's necessary. Some of it is medication, some of it's therapy, but one of the most important things really is support, and that is supportive environments that help provide structure to daily functioning. And so that is hard to just sort of ignore and send someone out. The other problem is that often alcohol and drugs can be involved because it's a way to self-treat. And so really trying to ensure that those things are managed and taken away can be really important. And getting into therapy, including family therapy, is really important in one of these because it allows for support for the loved ones that are watching their family member go through this. So really ensuring that there's environments that are supportive and being there as much as possible, though realizing that we do also have to sometimes protect ourselves, and sometimes that does mean stepping away from the person, which can feel horrible.
Right. Mary Kate, you're on WGN with Dr. Santina Wheat.
Well, you've answered some of my questions, but one of the problems I have is that my daughter is 27 years old, and when she's been suffering since she was 12. And one of the problems we have now is that we can't do anything. You know, she's an adult, and we're trying everything we can. We've tried to step away. We just feel awful.
Now, you're saying that your daughter is going through many of the things that we've talked about with possible schizophrenia, with all the kinds of behaviors that we've talked about, and you must be at your wit's end about all of
that. Very much so. Very much so. You know, for instance, yesterday she gave us a call, and she was just totally hysterical. And we, you know, suggested coming over, had her come over to our place, whatever, and she just wants to be left alone. And so I spent the last 12 hours on the phone or texting her every couple hours to make sure she's alive.
Yeah, Dr. Wheat, any thoughts, any advice?
I'm so sorry. That's such a difficult situation. I think that the biggest recommendation I would make sure is that you're being taken care of, that you're seeing someone that can help you process and help you make sure that you're setting limits while taking care of yourself. Sometimes I remind people that this is one of those things that we sometimes will need to use our police teams for doing well-being checks, making sure that folks are okay. And sometimes our hands are just tied. You're absolutely right. With adults, it is different than when we have teenagers or adolescents and they're still in our homes. But this is just something that's sort of ongoing, and we don't always have a right answer for.
Yeah, that's okay. That's a tough one. Boy, I'm so sorry that you went through that, Mary Kate.
So sorry.
And she's a beautiful young lady, too, and that's what's very difficult.
Yeah. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
I hope, are you seeking out some counsel for yourself in addition to trying to provide whatever help you can for your daughter?
You know, I haven't, but I never thought about it until I'm just listening to you. And I think I will now, because I think I do need it.
Yeah.
We all need support.
As much help as you can get with this. You've got a tough problem. Good luck to you with that, and thank you very much for sharing that with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, guys. And really, I listen to you all the time.
Thank you.
And you brought a lot of help to me.
I appreciate your call, and hope that everything, you know, starts to turn around a little bit. That is a tough one to deal with. Well, let's. I want to shift gears a little bit as we get into the holiday season here and holiday gatherings. You know, people are going to be at parties together and sharing foods together and sharing meals. Where should people be right now, Dr. Wheat, with vaccinations? Let's get a quick vaccination update of what we need to be doing right now.
Absolutely. I am hoping that people are vaccinated at this point. We definitely do have lots of things that are going around right now. We have definitely started seeing more influenza A around, so I'm hoping that people are vaccinated. It doesn't always prevent you from getting it, but it can help it not be quite so bad and allows you to recover a little bit faster. I do absolutely still recommend that people get the COVID vaccine, particularly if you are high risk, as we're going and spending time with people. If you are not yet up to date, I recommend that you be up to date with your tetanus vaccine because that also covers you for pertussis or the whooping cough. And then also if you're of the age recommending RSV vaccines and pneumonia vaccines, those are all of the things that we're seeing right now. Definitely seeing an increase in people getting sick. And the best thing that you can do is do your best to prevent it if you are to be exposed.
Yeah. Now, hopefully you're keeping great records. I suspect that most people are not. Is there a way, is there a central place to go to look to see what did I get vaccinated for and when? Do I need to get boosters on some things? Am I okay with others? Is there one central place online that you can go to find out that information?
That's a great question. If you are not physically uploading them to places, and that is not necessarily a straightforward answer, but if you are seeking healthcare with a place that has some sort of my chart that my organization uses Epic, and so that's what it looks like, but some sort of online portal, then you can make sure that vaccines that you get anywhere are pulled into that portal and then you can see them. And then most of these portals do actually have a reminder of when you're due for things. So whether you get it done at the pharmacy or at your physician's office, then it can all come together. And that's something that is newer, actually, since we had COVID, where the Illinois, at least if you're in Illinois, all of the vaccines are put into a centralized place and we're able to see that.
Yeah.
So that's my best recommendation, is to go into your portal and just make sure that when you have them, that it's showing up there, and then it'll give you reminders.
Yeah, because so many of us, you know, for when vaccinations were scarce, you would get vaccinated, you know, any place that would, where you could get in.
Right.
So, you know, for a lot of the vaccinations, we're not even sure. And you go to your doctor and they, I've been surprised going to my doctor, a few times, and they say, we're out of it. We don't have, it's like, you mean I can go to the Jewel Osco and get vaccinated, but I can't at my doctor's office. So, you know, you're getting vaccinated wherever you can. And it's a little bit hard to keep track of all that stuff. Well, good to know that there's a way to, you know, kind of crystallize all of that. Just real quick, it was announced this week that the classification of marijuana could be changing sometime soon, making it more readily available to people. There are plenty of medical uses for marijuana. What are some of those uses, Doctor?
Yeah, so this is an interesting conversation that I think is going to be evolving over the next year or so. We have been using components of marijuana for a while for some things, such as chronic pain, particularly for folks who are battling cancer and have pain from their cancer. We've also been using it for folks who have vomiting and nausea that's associated with some of their cancer treatments. We've been doing that for a while. And then sometimes for folks who are really struggling with their appetite and are unable to really eat and stay at a healthy weight, we've been using components of that too. And then now we're seeing more studies that are going into mood disorders, whether it's severe depression and other things. We are seeing more and more studies about that sometimes the data is mixed, but I think that this reclassification will allow us to learn more and see what benefits there can be. But really, some of the chronic diseases that we don't have great treatments for, sometimes marijuana is being shown to be helpful with things like appetite, pain, and nausea.
Yeah, as you say, I'm sure we'll be talking about this much more in the future. A texter from the 708 area code says, tell the woman who on the phone, the listener that we talked to a moment ago, Mary Kate, to go to the local community mental health agency, call the village where she lives to locate one. They can provide all means of support, resources, and strategies, including guardianship and psychiatric care. Kathy from Oak Park writes that in and says, I worked at one for 37 years. So that may be a resource for her as well. Dr. Weed, thank you very much as always. Happy holidays to you and your family. Dr. Santino Weed, thank you from McGaw Northwestern Family Medicine, Delner Hospital. Merry Christmas to you. Thank you very much.
Merry Christmas. Have a great week.
Come, you and I have never gone to a Bears game together, Schwani.
No, we haven't.
Mr. Eli went with his buddy last night to Soldier Field.
Well, that was the operative word there, buddy.
Why we haven't gone?
We haven't gone to a baseball game either.
I can't think of anything I'd like better than have you at the top of Soldier Field, right where you could accidentally tip over.
Just one gust of wind.
Oh, yeah, you'd love that, wouldn't you?
That'd be fun if we both dressed up. Or we could just take our shirts off and...
No, no.
We could have. Could write bears on our...
No, I'm not going.
Write stuff on our chests.
They had, like, army paratroopers drop in before the game last night. Maybe you guys could go skydiving.
Yeah.
Hey.
Oh, that would be fun.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, that would be fun.
They came right into the field?
Yeah, there were like five of them that just landed on the field before the game.
Talk about accuracy.
Right?
Getting in my seat, and I just see this giant parachute just through like the crowd heading onto the field. I was like, that's not supposed to be there. That's a giant penalty flag.
Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, you could,
a giant penalty flag.
You could kind of, with a person. There's a person attached to that penalty flag.
Then another one came down with the Chicago flag attached to the parachute. It was awesome.
Eli was at the game and sent me some video that he shot from there, from the perspective of being inside the stadium. I mean, we kind of got, you know, a look at it on television of what it was like and how exciting it was, and the city, the skyline, everything looked so beautiful. But like your handheld video, though, that was super cool.
Like being in the crowd there, it looked like when you see everyone holding up those white towels waving around, it looks like everyone was holding up their cell phone flashlight.
Oh, yeah.
But it was all moving and everyone was doing the same thing. It was so cool to see like Soldier like washed out like that in a way.
Yeah.
I got to say, it was nice that they had those rally towels because it really gave you that playoff type vibe.
Yeah, that's true. It did feel that way. Well, Schwani and I have gotten into the Christmas spirit in many ways through the years.
In various ways.
In various ways through the years. But I don't remember where I got these. But years ago, this has to be like 1991 or 2 or 3, somewhere around there, when both of us first started here at WGN. We used to have a WGN Christmas tree in the hallway, and they took pictures of all of us and turned them, you know, made them into ornaments and put them up on the tree. And somehow I got my ornament and Schwani's ornament.
You've had those for a while. As I recall now, you know, after you showed them to me before we started the show, you've had those for a while.
Somebody, I don't know how I got them, but somehow I did. And I put them up by my desk. It's my only Christmas decorations this year. Kind of pathetic, really.
I'm honored.
Just ornaments of you and I. But I took pictures of the ornaments also, so everybody can see them, and I posted them on my Facebook page.
Oh, you did you?
So if you want to see...
Hey, you will notice that I posted the pictures I was discussing last week on my Facebook page.
Yeah, I don't follow you.
I know that. Okay. Even though you were the one saying, did you post them?
Yes. I still don't follow you. Really, I get more than enough of you right here. Every one of the songs that Cher sang last night. on Saturday Night Live. Eli, do a little check on the age of one Miss Cher. I want to say she's 79?
Bingo.
Is it? She's 79?
Yep.
Swanee, you should sound this good when you're 79.
Yeah, about it.
And have
well, I'm only 10 years away.
She looked pretty good.
Yeah.
Thanks to many doctors. She looked good, sounded good. It's a really good show. It was a really funny show last night. Did you stay up? You didn't stay up.
No.
Because you had
to
get up early.
No.
You stayed up to watch the Bears game.
I did not do that either.
Oh, I thought you said you did.
No, I didn't. I saw the score at the half, and I thought, uh-oh. And then when I got up to come in this morning, I checked the score, and that woke me up. It was good to see that.
What a party pooper you are.
Well, you know, I'm like you. I would have jinxed them also, so yeah. It just kind of stayed away.
Cher was great last night. Ariana Grande, who was the host, is cute as a button, and she was great last night. And it was Bowen Yang's final show. He announced during the week that he was leaving Saturday Night Live, and last night was his final show. They did a couple of sketches appropriate to that. It was a nice send-off for him. So, very, very nice night. You want some good comedy? I've got some good comedy for you on New Year's Eve. Anna Belaval, who you see on the WGN-TV Morning News, is doing a special New Year's Eve show. We'll talk with her coming up next. It's 10:18. This is Dean Richards, Sunday morning on WGN. I hope this song is perking you up out there. I know one person it's perking up. And that is Anna Belaval, Chicago's number one Ricky Martin fan from the WGN-TV Morning News. Are you reliving your many Ricky Martin moments right now?
Oh, I will never outlive that, and I don't care.
The one time that we had Ricky Martin on a Zoom interview, and Anna's Around Town segment was coming up right after that, and Anna was talking about how she loves him, and she didn't know that he was still on the line, and he heard the whole thing and was very amused. He was very touched and amused.
Yeah.
By the whole thing. But it was a little, I don't know, not embarrassing for you. It was just, it was cute. You were being honest, showing your love for him.
We'll never be embarrassed, because the first thing I did was talk about how proud I was.
Yes.
That he was from my island and represented us in the most positive light, and that was rare. And then I went off to be the fangirl that I am, but I will never, ever take that back.
Yeah, I will never forget you jumping around like a like a little
queen.
It was so cute. It was so adorable. How are you this
good morning?
Chilly,
good
chilly morning. Did you watch the Bears game? I know you watched the Bears game last night.
Bears game, but I didn't know they had won. I left it when they weren't winning.
Oh.
And like Swanee was saying earlier, and then when my husband went to bed, I said, what happened? And you know, my husband is Midwest chill, so
right.
And very respectful of my sleep, so I hadn't heard a peep.
Wow.
And so I thought they had lost, and I heard him go, they won. Like, that's it?
The most restrained response ever.
It was, but this is Steve. Three to four all the time.
Right.
Happy or sad, yep. Same voice. And he's like, they won. It was exhilarating.
it was exhilarating.
Really.
Yeah.
Incredible. Meanwhile, you know, Jarrett Payton is about to faint and needs a defibrillator.
Right.
And my adorable guy from Chicago, Illinois, nice Midwest 0-3.
You gotta love that about Steve, though.
You have to.
He's very, very consistent. You gotta love that. Very.
That's what
very
I love good. About him.
Yeah.
Because I'm kind of wild, you know. He calls it passionate. Other people call it, you know, crazy.
No.
But that's why we do so well together. You, 24 years last week.
How about that? Happy anniversary! Mm-hmm. You are the best couple. That's very, very
Thank
true.
Thank you.
Thank you. you have a little big show coming up on New Year's Eve.
I'm so excited.
This is so exciting that you are doing a New Year's Eve show.
I rarely do it, but I got to be honest. I couldn't go to Puerto Rico this year because the four tickets and a stay in Puerto Rico would have been prohibitive. And it's really hard for me to spend Christmas in Chicago, not go to Puerto Rico at all. And in order not to be down or depressed, I'm like, what do I do? And I'm like, you know what? New Year's Eve on the south side of Chicago. I performed at European Chalets on Harlem this year at the beginning of the year. And oh my God, those people were awesome. They laughed with me. They finished my comedy, like my jokes. It was a mix of, you know, like Latino Southsiders and white Southsiders and cops and firefighters and housewives. And they were just, you know, salt of the earth and just wanted to laugh and wanted to make sure I was happy. And after the show, I took pictures with everybody and it was just so fantastic. And they had said, hey, Anna, would you do a New Year's Eve show? And I haven't been doing those because we usually fly back home that night
right.
from Puerto Rico. And I'm like, you know what? If they'll have me, I'll go there because it's going to be chill. It's going to be funny. And it's been a difficult year for so many people,
right.
including me. And I was like, yeah, let's do this. And I'm so happy European Chalets like rallied and was like, let's just do this. And to get the whole thing is fantastic because it's $156, but it includes dinner, cocktails, and yours truly. And that's a pretty good deal for, you know, what you can find now in hotels and other places. And I promise you, you'll be home before midnight. I'm not going to have you on 55. I don't want to be on 55 at midnight.
Right.
And so
yeah, you don't want to be on the roads at all.
No.
I mean, it's nothing but crazy out there right at midnight. So to be home at a reasonable time is great. But you know what this sounds like to me? Like an old-fashioned, like Vegas New Year's Eve celebration. Dinner, drinks, a show. That's you don't find stuff like that. Yeah, any
sequins, feathers, stands.
Right, right.
That's just me.
Yep, yep. it's the European Chalet, if you don't know, is 5445 South Harlem, 54th and Harlem. Yeah. And if you're interested in tickets, euroshal.com, euroshal.com, or 773-229-9440. And Anna is hilarious doing stand-up, by the way. So guaranteed you're going to have a fantastic time at an Anna Belleval New Year's Eve show. What are the kinds of things that you're talking about these days in your stand-up shows?
Well, listen, I have three teenagers. I know you didn't know that, but
who's the third one? Wait a second.
Well, the third... It's my 18-year-old here, and then my parents in Puerto Rico, because they're 87, 86, but they act like teenagers.
They don't
answer the phone.
Yep.
They don't do what I tell them. They turn off the location on the phone. They act, you know. So I'm in that sandwich generation, which I know you've done this already, but I'm taking care of parents and taking care of kids.
Yep.
And I'm far away from my parents, so they get to lie to me even better. But, like, I can't throw anything back at them because they have receipts. So they'll come back with, like, sure, you were worried about me. You know when I was worried about you in 1998 when you disappeared for the whole weekend and we didn't know you were in New York looking for your old boyfriend? That kind of thing.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. That's great.
Yep.
That's going to be a lot of fun. And I know that you're going to have a lot of fun for Christmas time. And one of the, what has become a great Christmas tradition for me is, Anna makes a traditional Puerto Rican coquito, which is, I guess we can call it like Puerto Rican eggnog. It's not really, but that's probably as close as we can to describe, but it's a very traditional, drink. For Christmas time for Puerto Rican people. And every year, Anna makes a huge batch And I'm lucky enough to be one of the recipients to get a bottle of it every year, and I'm looking forward.
And you are one of the few that washes the bottle and returns.
Well, you know, I have good, my mother taught me good manners, so.
Your mother taught you well. It is extremely clean, and it's returned very quickly, which is kind of odd because I've told you not to drink it that quickly because it could lead to diabetes.
Hey, you but drink it the way you want to drink it, I'll drink it the way I want to drink it. Anna,
but yours is ready. You're getting it tomorrow.
I had so wonderful. I mean, I always have wonderful thoughts of you, but I was watching the video that we shot at my house of making the Greek lasagna pastitsa with my mom.
Oh, one of the best.
And you were so sweet to my mom that morning that we shot this, but it brought back such just wonderful, wonderful memories. As my mom is correcting me and hitting me with the spoon, the whole deal. So, you know.
And it's funny because later on I made rice with my mother, and she was just like your mother. She was like, oh, no, what do you, no. And she couldn't even get off the wheelchair, but she's like, bring the pot down. I want to see. No, what are you doing? And I'm like. No, it was just your mother. Your mother corrected your pasta. Your mother corrected your mixing.
Yeah. No matter how old you get, you're always your mom's little one, you know. So some wonderful, wonderful memories. The 773 area code on our text line, Anna, says, I'm going to see Anna New Year's Eve. Great venue.
Yay. Oh, it is a great venue. It's fancy. It's European chalets. Excuse me.
Yeah, that doesn't get better than that. If you want to get some tickets for this, Anna Belleval's New Year's Eve show, dinner, drinks, and a fantastically hilarious comedy show at the European Chalet, 5445 South Harlem Avenue, 773-229-9440, or you can go to eurochal.com, EuroChal.com. All right, so there you go. See you in the morning.
Thank you so much. Yes, sir, with my Coquito bottle.
With
tomorrow is Coquito Day.
Oh, yay. Anna Belleval.
You know,
go ahead.
Thank you so much, Dean.
Oh, I love you.
No. Yeah. Thank you so much. I love you, too. I'll see you tomorrow.
I got to go to the news. Okay. See
you. I know. Bye.
Bye-bye. This morning, we've got an abbreviated show. Meteorologist Bill Snyder from WGN-TV is going to be joining us. If you're going to be doing some holiday traveling, he'll tell you what you might expect over the holiday period. It's hard to believe that it's only been 1 week since we learned of the horrific, maybe one of the worst showbiz death stories that I've ever reported, the murders, as it's now turned out, of Michelle and Rob Reiner in their home in Brentwood, California. Their son, Nick, has been charged with his parents' murder. There's a lot of ugliness that has gone into that story where a son slits the throats of his parents, obviously with mental illness. We talked about that earlier with Dr. Santina Wheat about mental illness and schizophrenia. I've been very moved by remembering the gifts that Rob Reiner has given us through the years, both in his own performances, most notably as Mike Stivic, the meathead on All in the Family, but with over 30 films that he has made over the years. I'm not a fan of AI, as you know. I've talked about it many times, but somebody put together on social media an AI of Rob Reiner, like a contemporary Rob Reiner, walking through scenes of the movies that he's made. I reposted it on my Facebook page. It's very, very touching to see, and it's made me think about the many times that I talked with Rob Reiner, most recently just this past September for Spinal Tap 2 that came out. Posted all of the interviews. You can get him online if you want to. We've talked with him about many of his movies over the years. But one conversation that we had that I really found so enlightening and so entertaining, ultimately, took place in November of 2023. Rob Reiner had just begun a podcast speculating on who killed JFK. It was very, very interesting. We talked about that. He just had put out a documentary about his lifelong friend Albert Brooks. We talked about that and many other things. The great Rob Reiner.
Something that you've always been interested in, that you've always done research on, from where did this all begin?
Well, I mean, I was 16 when Kennedy was assassinated, and like everybody else, I can remember exactly where I was when it happened. I was in my physics class in high school. One of the students walked in, whispered in the teacher's ear. He turned to the class and said, "I have some terrible news." And it was, he told us what happened, sent us all home from school, and I watched. I watched like everybody else, nonstop, until the moment when Lee Harvey Oswald was murdered. I saw it on live television by Jack Ruby, and I went, what is happening here? What is going on? It was a national trauma. The entire country was traumatized by this, and it never left me. And, you know, information has come out over the years in drips and drabs. And every time something comes out that adds more information, sheds new light, I try to follow it and figure out what's going on. The reason I wanted to do the podcast is because people, unless they're paying real attention to a new revelation that comes out, they don't know how it fits together in the whole picture. And so what I want to do with the 60 years that we've had is put everything together from everything I've learned. I've read all the books. I've talked to forensic experts. I've been to Dealey Plaza many times. I've talked to people who were there, all the people who are still alive that were there. I've talked to Secret Service agents, CIA agents. And based on all the information I have, we put this podcast together and try to explain it to people in a way that people can understand if they don't know anything about it, or people who know a lot about it will still be interested to find out new revelations. So it's been something that I've cared about and been. I think about it this way. You lose your family member, somebody who you love is murdered, and you don't know why, and you don't know who did it. You'll do anything to find out what happened. And those of us who were alive at the time want to know what happened. So we did this podcast. I did it with Soledad O'Brien, who's a wonderful journalist. And together, we put together this podcast. And I think by the end of it, you'll have a greater understanding of what happened on that day.
Yeah, because I guess, you know, as time goes on, you know, you and I remember exactly where we were that moment when it happened. But younger generations, you know, may as well be talking about Julius Caesar or, you know, like some mythical character.
Exactly.
They don't know and honestly really don't care that much as time goes on. And they just accept what's been issued publicly, that it was the act of a lone gunman, Lee Harvey Oswald, and all of the things that we have, that we've been spoon-fed as being the truth on this. Your findings show really were not the truth, right?
No, we now know it wasn't the truth. But at the time, there was no reason to believe it wasn't. I mean, coming out of the Second World War, we were the heroes. We were the good guys. We had defeated fascism. And we believed our government. At the time, when the government told us something, I think there was like 70% you know, acceptance of what the government said. Now, the government, we're at like in the teens of what we accept that the government tells us. And the beginning of this distrust in government, I believe, started with the Kennedy assassination. The more and more that's revealed, the more we realize we've been lied to. We've been lied to all these years. And my feeling is, if we're going to have any hope of democracy surviving, and right now we are under assault, there is no question about it. We're at a inflection point now where democracy can either survive or, you know, destroyed into the dustbin of history. Democracy, for its survival, has to be based on truth. We have to know that the government is telling us the truth. We have to come to grips with what we did with Native Americans. We have to come to grips with what we did with slaves and with black people. We have to come to grips with all of this. And if we are going to be a healthy democracy, we have to get to the truth of things. And so that's why this is important still to me.
So with your research, then, what is the truth? What are the biggest fallacies of what we have for years accepted as being the truth behind who killed JFK?
Well, the one thing that we know for sure, based on all the information that we have, is that it was not a lone gunman, that Lee Harvey Oswald did not by himself kill the president of the United States. That just didn't happen. If you look at all its forensics, if you look at all the motives and who was involved, and I've talked to everybody. I've talked to people who were there. I've been to Dealey Plaza many, many times. You cannot come to any other conclusion based on what we know. So that we will know for sure. By the end of the podcast, you'll know that this was not one person by himself. What we don't know exactly, and we're going to talk about the shooters that we think did this and where they were positioned in Dealey Plaza. We can't know for sure about that because there's still 5,000 documents that are being withheld. I'm not saying that there's going to be a smoking gun in there, but what we have found out as documents have been released over the years is that there was a direct connection between Lee Harvey Oswald and the CIA. That we know. In the Warren Commission report, they said there was no, that they didn't know very much about Lee Harvey Oswald. They heard about it, but they weren't really. But now we found out that for 4 years, they were tracking every single movement that Lee Harvey Oswald was making. That's now record. We know that to be true. So we know the government has been lying to us for all this time. And what we try to do with this podcast is put it all together in a way that people will understand what happened.
The stories that I've heard through the years, speculations have implicated Castro, have implicated, as you say, the CIA. And, usually when I bring up Chicago and try to bring some Chicago connection, I'm a little more proud than I am right now when I say there actually may have been some Chicago connection with Sam Giancana and the Chicago mob at the time, right?
Yes, there was. We talk about that specifically in the documentary. There was one thing we don't get into in the documentary, and that does involve Chicago, is that there was an assassination attempt planned for Chicago that was uncovered, and the trip that Kennedy had to Chicago was scuttled because of what they had discovered. It was a Secret Service agent named Abraham Bolden who discovered. He had been on the presidential detail. He was then stationed in Chicago, and he discovered that there was this plan, and they thwarted it, and it went away. So that was one thing. But yes, Giancana was definitely involved in helping find assassins. There was a guy named Charles Nicoletti, who we know about, and we will name all the assassins when we get to the 10th episode.
So, if you've got all this information, how is this not, like the biggest headline news that, you put all the pieces together, you connect all the dots, and it seems to show something pretty conclusive. People are still not really talking about it at the highest levels, right?
Well, they're not. And the reason, and this is really tricky, because like I say, over 60 years, there's been a revelation will come out. And you'll go, ooh, that's interesting. But the media doesn't ever start putting it all together. And we're still learning things. That's the interesting. I mean, Paul Landis, who was a Secret Service agent who was in the trail car behind Kennedy, spoke out for the first time a couple of months ago. And we put him on the podcast. We never knew about that. He was never interviewed by the Warren Commission, nor was any Secret Service agent who was there that day interviewed by the Warren Commission. So there's so much that we're learning as we go along. And I think it takes a desire to try to put it all together and make people understand. We approach it like a murder mystery, the greatest murder mystery in American history. And if you're going to do that, you, as a detective, you go, okay, who has the motive? Who are the suspects? Who has the motive? What are the forensics? What was the situation surrounding it when it occurred? When you start looking at all that, it becomes fairly clear. The one thing that we know for sure is that it was a conspiracy. And by the way, most Americans believe that. Right now, where we sit, about 65% of Americans believe it was a conspiracy. At one point, virtually no Americans believed it was a conspiracy. We believe what the Warren Commission said. Then as time has gone by, at one point, up to 85% believed it was a conspiracy. Now we sit where we sit right now. It's about 65%.
Who Killed JFK is the name of the podcast. And wherever you get your podcasts, that's where you're going to want to check this 10-part series out. But also I have to ask you about this new documentary that you've just made. I mean, you're one of my favorite performers and favorite directors. But Albert Brooks, come on. Is he everybody's everybody's favorite? Everybody admires him so much. The documentary that you did about him is must watch material, for over the holiday period, I think.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, first of all, Albert's a dear, dear friend of mine. We met in high school. We've been friends, close friends ever since. We shared a house together at one point. So I love doing it. And the man is a genius. He's to me the funniest man I've ever met. And it was a pleasure to be able to make a documentary about him and introduce him to people who didn't know a lot about what Albert's done over the years. So if you want a big laugh, a good laugh, there's lots of good laughs in it, and revelations about Albert's personal life, tune in. It's on Max, and, you can check it out.
Yeah. Was it obvious to you when you were high school buddies that he was a comedic genius back then?
Yes, he was. Even at age 16, he was like a prodigy. He was the only, he made my dad laugh hysterically one time. He did a routine in the house. And he, at age 16, could make professional comedians, people who were, highly regarded in the industry, he could make them laugh at age 16. And my father once said he was the funniest guy he ever, and he and Mel Brooks, to my dad, were the two funniest people he ever knew.
Do you remember what he did for your dad that made your dad laugh so hysterically?
He, by the way, he would come up with these things off the top of his head. He never planned anything. As a matter of fact, when he went on national television on the Carson Show or any other where, he did a bit for the first time. He never tried it out in the club. He'd have an idea and then he'd go on television and do it for the first time on national television. But he came to the house one day and he said, I've been working on this escape artist idea, and I think I've perfected it. I think it's like one of the great escape routines ever. And so we said, okay. So he put his hands out like this, and he said, here, he gave us a napkin, a cloth napkin. He says, tie my hands up. And then I draped it over his hands. He said, that's enough. Never even tied it, just draped it over his hands. He said, I can't get out of this. And then he said he stuffed some Kleenex in his mouth. He says, I can't breathe, right? I can't breathe. And then he went behind a curtain. And the idea was to get out from behind the curtain with a napkin draped over his hands and Kleenex. And after a couple of minutes, the curtain is rustling and you hear him behind it. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. Help me. Help me. And we pull the curtain back and he falls out and he's take it out. And, we undo it. I mean, there was nothing to undo. And my dad was screaming hysterical.
That's fantastic. Oh, my gosh. Was there anything that surprised you, considering that you've known him all your life? When you're doing the documentary, was there something that's like, oh, I didn't know that about Albert?
No, I know pretty much everything about
him. You know all the juicy details. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I've been close to him for so many years that, I know pretty much. And I could lead him into stories that he could tell. And sometimes, I led him to places where it might have been a little bit uncomfortable for him to talk about some of his personal stuff. But I think he trusted me enough to be able to reveal certain things. And I think we've got the great mix of great comedy and hopefully emotional stuff.
Yeah, Defending My Life. It's on Max. You have to watch it. Rob, thank you so much for all the great stuff that you do, for your social consciousness, for caring about America. I admire you greatly, and I thank you so much. Not to mention that I still watch All in the Family all the time also.
It's weird. Those issues are still relevant.
Right. We've got a football-y day here. We're all jazzed up after the big Bears win last night. Look forward to that. Shawnee, have I mentioned that we have the best listeners in the world?
Yes, we are. You know what? We should mention that every week because it's true.
We get wonderful, beautiful texts from them. They enjoy the Sunday show. They enjoy the laughs. We still get a lot of people, you know, just sending cards and letters through the mail. Very, very sweet. And this time of year, people send little gifts to us for the holidays, which is very nice. I received a book that someone sent, Vicky from Portage, Indiana. You're part of the woods.
Mm-hmm. Not far from my hometown.
It is a cookbook that she thought I might enjoy called The Woman Suffrage Cookbook. It was originally printed in 1886.
How about that?
These are recipes from the 1800s for, you know, a variety of different things. I've chosen one recipe that you might want to share for the holidays. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Curry of mutton. If I wanted to get a mutton, where would I go?
I don't know.
Is there a mutton store somewhere?
I'm not sure. I'm not quite sure. Is mutton kind of a lamb or
not
a...
Not sure. I don't know.
I know I've heard the term.
I just keep saying mutton, honey.
Well, thanks to Vicky, you said?
Yeah, from Portage.
Yes, thank you.
2 pounds of cold mutton, either boil or roasted, juice of a half lemon, half a pint of cream, 3 onion, 4 tablespoons of butter, a tablespoon of curry powder, salt to taste. Slice the onions, put the butter in a saucepan, add the onions, fry to a delicate brown, add the meat, cook until brown, bring a half a pint of cream to boil, thicken with 1 tablespoon of flour that's been rubbed smooth in a little cold milk, add the curry powder, salt to taste, pour over the meat, and cook 5 minutes more slowly. Served with hot boiled rice.
Well, there's your recipe for the show this week. Yeah,
making. I can't wait to see the look on Larry Potash's face when I say I'm making mutton on the show. 11:11 is the time. Talking about Feed the World, past couple of days, several Chicago Bears are out at food depositories, donating food, donating money, helping to feed homeless people. Let's remember people who may not have the same things that many of us do for Christmas and try to help out some other people if we can. Right, Shawnee? It's a good idea, right? Helping others? Or are you anti-helping other people?
No, I'm not anti. I am not at all anti.
No, you're a very generous person.
This is, you know, in not only this time of year, but for the rest of the year, yeah. You know, into the new year and beyond.
Always. You should always try to help people if you can.
Mm-hmm.
I tease you.
Oh, I sometimes wonder if it's just teasing.
No, it's teasing.
No, I know. So
on the text line, as you know, our text line blows up when there are super important critical issues to the nation, like what is mutton? Mutton is an older, muscular sheep.
I thought it was a type of sheep.
It's an
old lamb.
It's an old sheep.
Curry of mutton.
If you and I were sheep, we would be mutton.
Yeah. Okay. You know what? This is where they get the term. Remember the giant sideburns from the 1970s?
They called mutton chop sideburns.
Yeah. That's where that comes from.
Yeah. Our text line, all kinds of responses. Mutton is an adult sheep and a little gamey. Again, much like us, if we were sheep, I would imagine we would be a little gamey.
A little on the gamey side, yes.
309 area code.
I would remind you, you're older than me.
Yeah, thank you. 309 area code. So you know this is authentic. says, we raise sheep and cattle and hogs on our farm. My dad always said he didn't want any old mutton. For some reason, he thought it was a greasy piece of meat. I finally had a leg of lamb at our SIU dorm cafeteria. But leg of lamb is delicious.
A good leg of lamb? Yeah.
I love leg of lamb, but I don't need any old.
Well, okay. The difference there is lamb. That's a younger version rather than an older sheep. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want any sheep past their expiration dates.
Expiration dates.
Now, isn't there an old mutton home they can go to and just relax and enjoy their days?
Oh, I'm over there 3 days a week or more.
Right. This is the perfect
Eli, time. How you doing in there?
Another day, another dollar at this point.
But you never thought you were going to hear me doing a sheep impersonation on the show today.
There's always something new to check off the list.
You never know what you're going to hear.
Wait till next week.
It's the perfect time to bring in Bill Schneider, because when I think of sheep, I think of, I don't even know what that means. But I'm trying to figure out some way to bring you in here, Bill, to the program.
Are you sure you want to be here, Bill?
Yeah, you may want to. This will be your last chance to bail if you need to.
Right. I'm telling you, right.
We are Chicago's official old sheep station. Everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Bill Schneider is a meteorologist over at the WGN-TV and works with Demetrius and Alyssa and the whole weather gang over there. It's one of the hosts of the new podcast called The Forecasters, every night at 7 o'clock. And if you want to know weather, Bill Schneider is the guy that you go to around here. And we wanted to get an idea, Bill, of, you know, people are getting ready to go on their holiday traveling in a general sense. What might people expect for holiday travel?
You know, Dean, it's interesting, you know, considering how active the weather was around here to start the month, we're doing pretty well. And that's going to be the case much of this week. We're certainly not expecting any snow. We've had 17.4 inches for the season. By now we should have had about 6.5. So we're well.
Uh-oh, we lost our phone line. Phone line went out. Let's get Bill Schneider back on the phone line again. This happens every once in a while with our fancy schmancy phone system that we've got. Something just flipped out a little bit here. But do we have Bill, or is he may still be talking. He may not have come up for breath yet. Let's see. Is he there? Bill?
I am, Dean. I know. We're going to try this again. Let's hope the connection lines.
You were saying that we had a little more snow than we normally do this time of year.
Right. We're about 11 inches above normal, Dean. But the good news is, for traveling purposes, we are not going to add to that at any time soon, and probably for the rest of the year, which is amazing. We're heading into a far milder temperature regime locally here for the week. You know, it's a chilly day today, but certainly not nearly as bad as where we were a week ago at this time, when the high was only 10 above. So today
there you go. Went out again. All righty. Let me take a little break here and see if we can resolve these problems to find out what's going on with weather. I may just make something up when we come back after this. I will suggest this. If you go to the WGN weather page, you can get the kinds of things that we hoped we were going to be able to get on for you here in this segment. They've got all that information. So if you are doing some holiday travel, then WGNTV.com/weather, and you'll be able to get all that information, not only from Bill, from Demetrius Ivory, Alyssa Donovan, from Paul Conrad, all the entire weather team. With all the latest information, it's going to be up and running for the holidays. So apologies to Bill. Thank you, phone company, for a last-minute glitch here that we were not expecting. We're going to wind things up in just a couple of minutes here, because we've got an afternoon of NFL football Maybe not quite as exciting as last night's Bears game, but hopefully a few thrills for you to enjoy this afternoon here on WGN. This is going to be our final show before Christmas. I'll be on Bob Surratt's show, I think, with Wendy Snyder. I believe Bob's off, and I think Wendy is going to be filling in for the next couple of days. So I will be on for that, but this is our final show before Christmas, and I just wanted to wish everybody the happiest of holidays. Happy Hanukkah, which is ongoing. Kwanzaa will begin right after Christmas time, but man, we are living in some crazy and insane times. And if ever we needed the message of peace on earth and goodwill to men, it is this year. And I hope that you find that with your family and your friends. I hope you have a very safe holiday, whatever it is that you're doing, whether you're traveling far distances or staying in the Chicago area. I hope you just have a wonderful, wonderful time with your family and friends. And as I had mentioned before, we're talking about some of the Chicago Bears helping, you know, donating money to food banks. Many of the Chicago Bears actually going to serve food for people who are in need. Remember that there are lots of people who are in need for the holidays, and if there's something that you can do to make that a little easier, I hope you'll dig a little bit deeper to make a donation. There are so many different organizations, and that, you know, you can help out with the smallest of donations of food, or, you know, you hear us talking about the need for toys for kids. Wally Phillips famously spearheaded the WGN Neediest Kids Fund and raised countless millions of dollars for families around the Chicago area who had nothing. In memory of the great Wally Phillips, who, you know, if you're too young to know, was one of the great radio broadcasters of all time in Chicago, was the undisputed champion of morning radio here on WGN for years and years and years. He started it. Let's continue the legacy by showing some generosity. What do you say for the holidays? I wish you and yours a very, very, very Merry Christmas. And I wanted to end the way we always end our final show before Christmas. We play a tradition from the old late show with David Letterman. This is from December 19th, 25 years ago. The great Darlene Love singing with the United States Air Force Singing Sergeants with Paul Shaper and the CBS Orchestra. Christmas, baby, please come home. That's going to wrap it up for me today. Again, to you and your family, a very